people even are allowed to say that anymore. And yet here it is in Leviticus chapter 21. And this passage of Scripture doesn't have to do with salvation. I want you to understand that right off the bat. It doesn't have to do with salvation. It has to do with serving the Lord. And in this passage of Scripture, we're actually going to come across some things that God gives as reasons why you cannot serve the Lord. Now, that sounds kind of weird because you would think that God would want everybody to serve the Lord, and He does. But this passage in Leviticus chapter 21 talks about how sometimes there's physical limitations when it comes to the priesthood that kept them from partaking or from serving in specific ways. I have on my wife's side of the family, she has a cousin who has a daughter who has a husband, so that's like, I don't know, second cousin once removed. I don't know how that works. But he's in the Navy. He is 6'6 in the Navy. He doesn't fit into ships very well. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was told from the get-go, you're not going to be able to serve on a submarine because there's limited space there with his height. Now, he wants to serve, and he can serve, but he needs to find a different way to serve because he's got this physical thing going on that most of us here can't relate to. Some of us here are vertically challenged, right? The majority of us here are more horizontally challenged, if I can put it that way. But Jordan isn't able to serve on a submarine because he's just too tall, but he can still serve. Well, that's a little bit like this. As we work through this list this morning, we're going to be looking at physical things. But I want you to understand something. In the Old Testament, very often there are physical things that happen that in reality there's a spiritual lesson that we can learn from it. And so this morning we're not going to talk about, as it does here, physical things that would keep them from serving in specific ways. We're actually going to take these physical things and we're going to talk about spiritual things that sometimes preclude us from serving the Lord the way we might want to and the way that God wants us to. And then we'll wrap it up with a look at something in the New Testament at the very end. So here we go. We're going to pick up in verse 16. Of Leviticus chapter 21. And in that verse it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach. Now we're going to stop there just for one second because I want to make sure that we're all understanding that this is not talking about salvation. God never looks at anyone and says, you cannot approach me because there's something wrong with you. Did you know that there was something wrong with you? How many knew that already? Good. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to tell you, there's something wrong with you. And there's something wrong with me too. And so if God's requirement for approaching him was that there was nothing wrong with us, none of us would ever be able to approach the Lord. So we are not talking about salvation. There can be all kinds of things wrong with us, and we can still come to the Lord and know him as our God and Savior. However, we can look here and see, it says in verse 18, or at the end of verse 17, it says, who has a defect, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. That's a position of service. They can partake in the bread of God, and we'll see that in this passage, but they can't offer it to others. They can't serve in that way. There's something that's physically keeping them from serving God in that specific way. They need to find another way to serve. And sometimes that happens, even in churches. But more importantly, as I've already said, spiritually speaking, here now is the list. It begins in the middle of verse 18 when it talks to us about a man blind or lame. Now, clearly, again, relating to this passage, we're talking about somebody who's physically blind or somebody who is unable to walk. And so it makes sense that God would say somebody who's physically blind isn't going to be able to stand up in front of everybody and serve the Lord the way another priest might be able to do. They're not going to be able to take the sacrifices and offer the sacrifices. There's just some limitation on that. And certainly the same thing with somebody who's not able to walk. But what's interesting is those two words, blind and lame, can very easily describe us spiritually before we come to Christ. In fact, especially the word blind, right? In the New Testament, very often, that word blind is used to describe one of the things that was going on in our lives spiritually before we came to Christ. We were blind, and if you were, we were lame as well. We could not walk with the Lord. Why? Because we didn't know the Lord. And so because we're talking about service, it kind of seems weird that we would say this first. If you are spiritually blind or spiritually lame, you cannot serve the Lord. Now that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you're spiritually blind, in other words, if you don't know God, if you're spiritually lame, if therefore because you don't know God, you're not walking with God, you cannot serve God. Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer, Don. We can just move on from there. But hold on a second. I want you to be aware that while there's many churches that are meeting this morning, because we're not the only one, we're not even the only one in our town or whatever town you're here from, whether you're a guest or a regular here, there's all kinds of churches that are meeting this morning. And I want to tell you that there's some people who are standing up probably about right now, and maybe a few minutes ago or maybe in a few minutes, who are also pastors by title, and yet they are spiritually blind. They don't know God. And they are spiritually lame because they don't know God. They can't see God. They don't know Him. They can't walk with Him. I want you to understand that there are churches out there that have pastors and clergy in the pulpit, just like I am right now, who actually don't know the Lord. And that's sad, but it's true. Because what we've built within Christianity is if you go and get your education and you finish with your degree and you get a piece of paper, that therefore makes you a pastor. No, it doesn't. Pastor is having a call from God on your life. And I know churches right now where all kinds of things are being taught. They'll crack open all kinds of books. They'll quote all kinds of people, but they won't crack open this book. They won't quote God. Because in reality, they're serving God. God says, you're not serving me. You're spiritually blind. You're spiritually lame. There's no way you can be serving me. So if we want to serve the Lord, we first need to have our eyes opened and our feet healed, if you would, so that we can see God for who He is and walk with Him. Moving on in this list here in verse 18, it doesn't just say a man blind or lame. It also says somebody who has a marred face. In the original King James Version, it says somebody who has a flat nose. That's one of those ones I read thinking, I don't think you can say that about people today. It's not really a nice thing. You've kind of got a flat nose. But if you think about it, what are your noses good for? Smelling. That's right. Greg smells. Okay? He just was the one who said that. So you can take that a couple of different ways. If you want to laugh and think I was insulting him, go right ahead, because I was. No, we smell with our noses. Spiritually speaking, you and I as Christians need to be able to smell. I'll put it in a different way. You and I need to be able to discern. You ever opened a gallon of milk before and gone to pour it in a glass and you go to drink from the glass, and as that glass gets close to your face, your nose lets you know something's wrong here. Do not put that in your mouth. Don't get that in your lips. That's the job of your nose. That your nose in smelling is discerning that something is rotten in that glass. Or you know, at any time. I mean, there's all kinds of examples we can use where even before we've laid our eyes on something, if you have a dog, even before you lay your eyes on something at times, your nose tells you, Lulu did a no-no. You know what I mean? Or whatever your dog's name is. I was using Polly's dog's name, but she never does no-nos. So your nose tells you in advance. It's smelling, but it's really discernment. That's the word the Bible uses, if you will. It's kind of our spiritual smelling system. It's one of the things that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do when He takes up residence in our heart, is to be able to smell when something isn't quite right, to be able to discern between truth and error. Jared Cassidy, who is preaching again this morning over in Brockton at a small church called Grace Church, and you can keep him in prayer. This is his fourth Sunday there. He's one of our elders here. He's also a seminary student. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Lord is opening the door for him to become the pastor of that church. So you can keep Jared Cassidy in prayer. But somebody that Jared and I know was in contact with us this week, and they were talking about somewhere that they were last Sunday evening, and they were with a bunch of other believers, and at this regular meeting of these believers, they had brought in a guest speaker. And the guest speaker started out well. She seemed to be talking about the things of God, and it was resonating with everyone there. And then she kind of diverged and went off topic a little bit. And the person who contacted us this week said when she began doing that, there was something in their heart that was saying that there is something not quite right about this. I may not be able to put my finger on it yet, but there's something not quite right, and I need to do a little bit more investigation. And so she contacted us, and we were able to show her the error of this. That's discernment. That's what discernment is. It's when truth is being put out there and error is being put out there. And our spiritual discernment as we serve the Lord is going, there's something not quite right about that. So you and I need that today if we want to serve the Lord, because we live in a world that is basically kind of an anything goes world. It's getting less and less clear on what is right and what is wrong. Jesus said that in these days, and the Old Testament predicted it as well, that people would be looking at things that were good and calling them evil, and people would be looking at things that were evil and would be calling them good. And so we need that gift of discernment, if you will. We need that discernment that the Holy Spirit gives to us as we seek to serve the Lord, because everything doesn't go, not in God's kingdom. And as we represent God's kingdom, as we seek to serve him, we need to make sure that we're discerning too. Now, here's what we need to make sure we don't do when it comes to spiritual discernment. We need to make sure that we don't become sin sniffers. And what I mean by that is our job is to discern between truth and error when it's presented to us. Our job is not to do, we'll go back to the dog analogy again for a second. Our job is not to do what two dogs do when they see each other for the first time in a while. Our job is not to do that. They just sniff each other all over. Sometimes Christians are that way. Not that they're walking up to other Christians and sniffing them like that. Please don't. But what they're doing is I'm gonna look for the error in your life. I'm gonna look for the sin in your life. I've got discernment. I'm gonna sniff your sin right out. That's not what this is talking about. That's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. But when truth is presented, if there's error mixed in there, we want to rely on the Lord and on the Holy Spirit to help us discern the difference between the truth and the error so that we can serve the Lord. Blind, lame, marred face. At the end of verse 18, it says, any limb too long. And that just simply means this. There's something there that was not meant to be there. There's an additional piece, if you will, that was not meant to be there. It's like you've got an arm, a regularly lengthed arm, and an extra part. You've got a leg, and then you've got this extra part. In the King James Version, and I read it in that a few times because there's a lot of words in there that we don't use today, and it was kind of comical. It says this, superfluous. When's the last time you used that word in a conversation, you know? But that's what it's talking about. And here's how we can bring this into the service of the Lord. When it comes to serving the Lord, it's supposed to be God only, Jesus only, the Bible only. And it's so easy today, again, when we're serving the Lord, to think that somehow we need to mix in other things. I was speaking with one of our elders during the week this week, and we were talking about what happens when an entire church kind of goes off the rails. And at some point, that had to begin with the pastor. And at some point, that pastor must have decided that the holy word of God wasn't enough. And now they're going to add to it. They're going to add a book, or they're going to add, you know, whatever. And it could even be a good book by a Christian author that we would all regularly read. Except that becomes the primary thing, and this becomes the supplement. That's not the way it's supposed to be. When it comes to serving the Lord, it's just God and just Jesus and just His Word. Nothing superfluous. Did I say it right? Superfluous. I don't know. And nothing extra, nothing added. Just God, just Jesus, just His Word. That's what is called for when we look to serve the Lord. Verse 19 talks about a man who either has a broken foot or a broken hand. Somebody with a broken foot isn't very stable. They may be walking with crutches, they may be walking with a cane, they may have a walking boot, or they're just unstable in their walk. Listen, if you and I really want to serve the Lord, we need to make sure there's some stability in our walks with the Lord. We can't be the way that, is it James or Jude? I can't remember. Says that sometimes there's people who get blown about by every wind of doctrine. So that every time something new comes down the pike, they're gearing towards that. And every time there's a problem, they seem to fall away from the Lord. There's no stability there. And that's what happens when you have a physically broken foot, but spiritually speaking, as we look to serve the Lord, you need keys? You need keys? Okay, here's keys. This is why, yeah, okay. Have an emergency going on with some family members next door, evidently, so. And so when it comes to serving the Lord, you and I need to make sure that there's some stability. That listen, at times we have broken things in our walks with the Lord. And in those times when we have broken things in our walks with the Lord, we need to make sure that we're not all gung-ho in that moment to serve, that we're willing to, at that moment, take a step back and be served and be ministered to. That's one of the things that I've loved about our church through the years is that we'll have somebody come in from another church, and in one of my initial conversations with them, I'll find out that something happened to them at their previous church, and they've been hurt, or they've been injured, or they've gotten burnt out. And they can come here, and they'll only be here for a matter of months. They usually don't stay very long because they have a heart to go back and be able to serve where they were before or serve somewhere else. But they're able to come here, and instead of worrying about serving and everything that can sometimes entail, instead what they do is they just get served, and they get ministered to. And God refreshes them and restores them. Their broken foot, if you will, becomes healed. And then off they go for whatever the Lord has for them next. And so it's okay if you're in a position of service and something breaks in your life. It is okay with me. It is okay with our church if you say, you know what? I need to take a break. Man, I've got some instability going on in my life right now. I'm not really sure that I should be out of the service and down with the higher ground kids. I'm not really sure I should be working with the youth group. I'm not really sure I should be singing on the worship team. Right? I need to take a break from greeting. That's okay. God has a way of binding broken things. Have you noticed that in your life? And when it comes to serving the Lord, it's okay with us if you say, you know what, I want to take a break. It's not that I don't want to serve anymore. I just need to take a break from serving right now, from ministering right now. I need to be ministered to. And that's a beautiful place to be, because when we recognize that and acknowledge that, I've got a broken foot in a way right now. I've got some instability right now. And then we bring that before the church and therefore before the Lord. He works amazingly. But not only a broken foot, but also a broken hand. Sometime on your own, read in 2 Samuel chapter 23, there is a story about a man named Eliezer. And Eliezer it says in 2 Samuel 23 that he was one of David's mighty men. David had these guys that were sometimes called mighty men, sometimes they were even called mighty men of valor. They were David's, almost like his secret service or the Navy SEALs or something like that. That's what Eleazar was. And there's a story in 2 Samuel 23 about how Eleazar one day when the Philistines were attacking, he reached and he grabbed his sword. And he battled the Philistines that were coming at him until there were no Philistines left to battle. And it was a tough battle and it was a long battle. And when it was all done, his hand could not release the sword. His hand had cramped is the right word, but I'm going to use that word, okay? His hand had cramped around the hilt of that sword, and so that it hurt him, if you will, to let it go. He was so tight with that sword. His hand wasn't broken, but what happens when you have a broken hand is you're not able to grasp things the way you need to be able to grasp them. And sometimes spiritually, when we're looking to serve the Lord, you and I need to make sure that we have a good handle on things. Spiritually speaking, or biblically speaking, the type of the sword in the Bible is the Word of God. Right? We get that from Ephesians chapter 6, near the end of the spiritual warfare, get yourself all armored up section. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you and I need to make sure that what we're handling correctly, what we're holding in our hands, is the Word of God. I love being able to use, with keeping names out, but love to be able to use how God is working in the lives of the people in our church when it fits in with a sermon. That's kind of cool. I won't ever use your name, so I'd love to hear your God stories, though. So there's a woman from our church who has a relationship with another woman who's not from our church, and she's really seeking. And this woman is one of these women who has like 30 questions a day that she needs answered about the Lord. And the other day, after 3 or 4 days straight of just question after question after question, this other woman said to the woman from our church, every time you answer me, you give me scripture. I said, yes, amen, praise the Lord. What are you going to give him, psychobabble, right? Dr. Phil says, or I saw once on Oprah, or I had my palm read and it told me. No, forget about all of that. You and I need to make sure that our hands are not broken when we go to serve the Lord, so that we can rightly handle this right here. No matter what the situation is, Scripture has the answers for us. And I love that picture of Eleazar not being able to let go of the sword. He and that sword were one. It pained him to open his hand up and let go of the sword. And I wonder how you and I are doing with that. In Scripture. I wonder how you and I are doing that with the Bible. I wonder if when people come to us and say, man, I'm really going through this, what are we telling them? What are we giving them? Are we just trying to give them warm fuzzies? Or are we saying, you know what? God has something to say about that. And just really holding on to the Word of God as we seek to serve Him. Here's probably the most politically incorrect verse 20. So we have a man, verse 19, who has a broken foot or a broken hand. And then in verse 20, we have somebody who's a hunchback or a dwarf. I'm not really sure you can call them dwarves, except if you're Snow White, and then I think it's okay. Or if you live in Middle Earth and are like a hobbit or, whatever all those other things are. I think that's politically incorrect, but God's point is this. If you're a hunchback, there's something wrong with your spine. Do you know when you serve the Lord, you need to have a strong spine? Do you know what I mean by that? We use that in our figurative language sometimes today as well. But it's true. When you're serving the Lord, you need to have a strong spine. Or I'll put it a different way. You need to have a strong backbone. What we believe and who we choose to worship is becoming increasingly unpopular and increasingly under fire in the world that we live in. Yet we still want to serve the Lord, and part of that is being able to bear a burden. See, that's the thing with a hunchback. They're not able to stand up straight. There's something wrong with their spine. They're kind of weighed down under their own burden. You and I are not to be like that. There's a place that we can go with our burdens if we're feeling weighed down. It feels like a lot lately we've been quoting that verse from that Peter wrote in the New Testament that says, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. That's the place for us to go with our burdens, no matter what our burdens are. God does not expect us to carry them on our own. We've all heard before the end of Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful invitation we have from Jesus himself. So we need to not be hunched over with burdens when we have someone who's willing to release us from those, but also you and I, as we seek to serve the Lord, we need to have a spine, and we need to have a backbone. And even if that means that everyone else around us is saying this is okay, if God says it's not, we need to have a backbone and a spine to agree with God and not the majority, to agree with the scripture and not with society. And it's increasingly difficult, and it's kind of another reason why we need each other. We need each other, you know, collectively as a church. A dwarf is simply somebody who stopped growing. You cannot serve the Lord if you've plateaued in your walk with him. Or if you think to yourself, well, I'm just not going to grow anymore, but I can still serve in the church and serve the Lord. That's not really a good idea. I found out early in my ministry when I was working with youth that I could only, the way I put it is this, that I could only bring the teenagers in that youth group as far as I spiritually had gone. Does that make sense? So I couldn't talk to them about things that I didn't know about. I could only, if they were going to grow and if God was going to use me to help that in their lives, they could only grow to a certain point. And they weren't going to grow beyond where I had grown. And so it's important that as we seek to serve the Lord, we make sure we continue to grow and continue to focus on those things so we don't become spiritual dwarfs, as it talks about here. And then it also says in verse 20, not just somebody who's a hunchback or a dwarf, but a man who has a defect in his eye. Man who has a defect in his eye. Again, in the King James Version, it put it a little bit differently. I can't remember what it said right now. But the idea is this. There's something wrong with your sight. You've got a defect in your eye. Now, we could go a couple of ways with that. We could talk about having a wandering eye. Does everybody understand what I mean by that, having a wandering eye? It's something that sometimes wives accuse their husbands of. Having a wandering eye, and I don't mean that in a good way, like, honey, you've got a wandering eye. Isn't that great? No, that's not great. Not great for your husband, not great for you, not great for your marriage, okay? But sometimes when it comes to serving the Lord, those who are serving the Lord have a wandering eye. Oh, granted, now they're serving the Lord, and they might be in one place, in one position. They might be right where God wants them to be, but they're not satisfied with that. They're not settled into that. They're always looking for where, you know, well, I know I'm doing this, but I really want to be doing this. I know I'm greeting, but I really want to be fill in the blank. And so I've got a wandering eye. Rather than staying focused, singularly focused on what here is before me, I'm kind of focusing on what's before me, but not really, because I really want to be doing this or I really want to be doing that. There's something wrong with your eyesight spiritually in that particular case. I want to read to you this verse from Proverbs chapter 4, and it's Proverbs 4:23, and here's what it says. It's actually Proverbs 4:25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyes be focused on what's right in front of you. Man, how true is that, you know? I mean, how many times in our non-spiritual walks with the Lord, just life, have things happen because we took our eyes off of the road or whatever the case may be? It's one of the dangers of texting in the car, right? You're taking your eye off of the road. And even the Bible says in Proverbs, focus on what is right in front of you and right before you. Listen, don't worry about, well, I'd rather be doing this in the church and I'd rather be serving in this way. Focus on where God has you serving now. He knows your heart, and if your motive is right for wanting to serve somewhere else in some other capacity, he'll give you that opportunity in his timing. But for now, he's looking for you to be singularly focused on where he has you and not to have any kind of wandering eye or defect in your eye. And then it says in verse 20, not just a hunchback or a dwarf or a man who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scab or is a eunuch. Eczema is a skin thing, right? We're probably all aware of what that is. And it just makes you scratch. It makes you itchy. And the worst thing, you know, the worst itches to get are those ones you can't quite reach. Do you understand what I mean? You ever get one of those itches like in the small of your back and you can't reach it? And you're going like this, or you're going like this, and you look absolutely ridiculous, right? So hopefully it happens at home, but I've had it happen to me before where it's like been at work or something. Or better yet, I find a corner, and I turn into like one of my cats, And I'm going like this on the corner, the sharp corner, trying to get the, and they're like, what? I was doing, working as a security guard one time up at the factory where TJ Maxx has all their clothes out of. And I'm going like this on the corner, really trying, like, ah, oh, that feel. And the guy walks around the corner. He's like, what are you doing? What do you say? What, is scratching my back? I don't know. I don't know what you say. But eczema is an itchiness. Eczema keeps you itchy. Eczema keeps you restless. And sometimes when we serve the Lord, and that kind of goes with what we were just saying too about the wandering eye, there's a restlessness sometimes about people who are serving the Lord. There's an itchiness about it, like it, this doesn't quite satisfy me. You haven't quite scratched my itch by where you have me. And the Lord would say, no, I have you where I want you right now, where you need to be right now. Stop trying to scratch the itch. Now, we could go another way with that too, I suppose, and we could talk about how in the New Testament it says that in the last days, people will heap up teachers for themselves because they have itching ears. He's not talking about physically, he's talking about spiritually. It's people who whatever you're telling them about Jesus doesn't quite scratch their itch, and so they'll go looking elsewhere to other sources and other things, and they'll surround themselves, and you know, we'll have... The Ecumenical Council of Churches for Rainham and Taunton has churches that teach the Bible, churches that are liberal. It has a Jewish church with a female rabbi. I don't even know how that works. It sounds like the start of a joke to me. And the Seventh-day Adventists, and we're going to mix in the Jehovah's, and we're going to just have this, we're going to have all of this, and then we're going to do a service together. This is why we don't take part in things like that, you know. And so we're just going to heap up these teachers, and we're going to draw a little bit from this, and a little bit from this, and a little bit from this, and hopefully it'll make my itching ears kind of calm down. But when it comes to our service of the Lord, we need to make sure we don't have a restlessness about, you know, God, this isn't exactly scratching my itch. This isn't exactly what I want to be doing. And it's okay to pray about where he might have you, but while he has you there, again, stay focused on that. A scab, you know what a scab is. A scab covers wounds. One of my sons, who shall remain nameless because he's the middle of my three sons, has a little bit of a restlessness about him, you know? That's one of the things that sometimes like about him, and one of the things we sometimes don't like about him, but he definitely has a way. We were driving in Mystic, Connecticut a couple of weeks ago with our younger two boys, and we were doing some of the touristy things down there, and we get there, and his leg is just bleeding. And I said, what happened to your leg? I don't know. Okay, now wait a minute. You know, you just don't want to tell me, so let's start with that, okay? But what's really going on is he found a spot on his leg that he could pick. And so he picked it, and picked it, and picked it, and picked it, because you know, not just him, but you know sometimes that is seemingly what scabs are inviting you to do. Pick me. See if you can peel me off. See if you can, you know, mix me in with your mother's cornflakes if she'll eat. No, I'm just kidding. Don't ever try that, okay? That's disgusting. Right before lunch. That's disgusting. But in all reality, listen, there's some people spiritually who go through life and they never let the wounds in their lives properly heal. Those wounds in their lives, they scab over and they don't allow, see, the scab is to protect you, or the scab is to allow the healing underneath to happen. But sometimes there's people in life who pick those hurtful things in their life and they bring it up and they bring it up and they bring it up. God says, that's not a good idea when you're looking to serve me. It's not a good idea when I've been trying to bring healing into this area of your life for you to start picking at that scab again and revisiting old hurts and old pains. That's not what God has for us. The Bible says, as we've already mentioned, when it came to the broken foot, that God loves to bind things back together. God loves to heal old hurts and wounds. But we need to let him do that. Sometimes we think, well, we're serving the Lord, we're serving the Lord, and yet we're pick, 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 pick. And that becomes our focus. We're intent on serving the Lord, and yet seemingly we keep talking about and keep focusing on those old wounds and picking at them and picking at them. And God says that kind of person can't really properly serve me the way they may want to. And then the very last one there is a eunuch, and that is simply somebody who is not able, physically speaking, not able to bear kids, not able to have children. Very often in the Bible, and we've already all heard this before, children are called the fruit of the womb, not fruit of the loom. That's something completely different, okay? But fruit of the womb. And so all it's letting us know here is when it comes to serving the Lord, one of the things that you and I need to make sure of is that we're bearing fruit in our lives. We can't be not bearing fruit in our own life and talking to people about how they need to bear fruit in their lives. We can't not be bearing a particular fruit in our life and yet be talking to our neighbor or be talking to a higher ground class or be talking to a coworker about how they need to be exhibiting that fruit in their lives. That doesn't make sense if you're a spiritual eunuch. And God says that kind of a person, they may want to serve me, they may think they're serving me, but they're not able to serve me the way they want. Here's what it says now in verse 21. It says, "No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God." But verse 22 says, "He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, sanctify them." And Moses told it to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel. I made this point twice at the start. I'm going to make it again now. Look at the end of verse 21. It says at the end of verse 21, "He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God." But verse 22 then immediately says, "He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy." You can still approach God. You can still partake of the bread of God. God isn't cutting anyone off because of their defect from worshiping him, loving him, serving him. What he's saying is these are things physically for the priesthood in the Old Testament that would keep them from serving the Lord. And these are things for us spiritually, if we have these going on in our lives, that would keep us from spiritually serving the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I looked at that list, and there were days that I looked at that list, and I thought to myself, I'm a blind, lame dwarf. That's kind of what, and I don't tell too many people that, but that's what I felt like in that moment, because I, and hopefully you too, can see where some of these things may be an issue in our walks with the Lord, and we need to get them taken care of and cleaned up. But here's the really good news. The really good news is this. When we see something in our lives spiritually that needs to be cleaned up, God doesn't expect us to be the one to put on the hazmat suit to clean it up. I want you to look what he says right there at the end of verse 23, the last several words there. "For I, the Lord, sanctify them." I'm the one. If they'll come to me and say, "Lord," if I would come to the Lord and say, "Lord, right now I'm feeling like a blind, lame, hunchbacked dwarf." God says, "Well, I'm glad you brought that to me. Now let me sanctify you. Now let me work in your life. Let me help you with those things. I don't expect you to do it on your own." I want to bring you to one passage in the New Testament as we close together this morning. It's the Gospel of Matthew. So if you would turn there with me to Matthew chapter 15. This is really just kind of, not reiterating, but restating something we've already said. Matthew chapter 15, it's the first of the four Gospels. And we'll just look at these three verses here, and I'm not even going to really expound on them. It'll be obvious to you. We've all heard before of the feeding of the 5,000 and the miraculous thing that Jesus did there on a beach that he was sitting on with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 12 baskets of leftovers and things of that nature. Just a little while after that, there's actually a second, completely different place, different group of people episode that happens. And it's the feeding of the 4,000. It doesn't get as much attention because it's 1,000 less than the other. You know what I mean? It's like feeding of the 4,000. Oh, big deal. He just fed 5. But I want you to notice something here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. It says, "Jesus departed from there, and he skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet. And what did he do? He healed them. And so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. So not only is Jesus able to heal physical infirmities, but Jesus is able to heal spiritual blindness, spiritual lameness, spiritual dwarfness, broken hand, broken foot, problems with your spine, and all of those things that we talked about. And when he does that, our response should be the response at the end of verse 31. They glorified the God of Israel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word.